Welcome to the first Fiat Ministry podcast. I am Ken Kowalski, and I am the creator of the podcast, and just want to welcome everybody to this hopefully enlightening and hopefully informational podcast about your faith and how why you say yes to your faith, and give you some explanations of what other people go through and saying yes to their faith of the Catholic faith, and just to show how everything that they do and what they do in their lives represents saying yes, giving their fiat to Christ, and to allow them to go through a very enjoyable life with Christ. It's always hard, but it's definitely one of those things that you can definitely get a lot of grace through than just going through and not asking for any help from Christ. So we're here to ask people why they say yes to Christ, what their fiat is for Christ. And I just want to welcome someone, a very special person, because she is the first person on the podcast. And she's actually a dear friend, or a very good friend, of one of my dear sisters-in-laws, Hannah. And I just want to welcome Sarah to the podcast. And I also just want to let people know that we are with promotion with Lamb of God Radio, 91.7 FM, and hopefully some of these podcasts will be on their radio. And I just want to, again, welcome Sarah to the podcast and say hello.
Hello.
And to ask her a first question. Can you give us a brief summary of your faith walk of saying yes to Christ, your fiat moment?
Yes, I can. I've been very blessed to have been brought up in a very Catholic household. Both sets of grandparents grew up in Catholic schools and went to Mass daily and raised their kids in the foundations of the church. And my father spent 7 years in the seminary, and with, I think, half a year left to go, realized, oh, wait, God wants me to get married instead. And 3 months later, he met my mom at a West Side Catholic Singles alumni group, and they've been together for 25 years now. So I've been very blessed to have him as my father. And my mother has two aunts who are nuns, an uncle who's a priest. So religion was never far from our household, and it's discussed on a daily basis with everything we do. And my fiat moment, I suppose, besides coming on the show.
Double duty there. That was good. We had to record this again. So that's perfect line.
Was exploring the religious life. When I was 12, I thought, hey, I should become a nun. So after many years of praying about it and going in and out of turning it down, turning it on, you know, through high school and grade school, you're like, ooh, boys, they're cool. Or like, gee, God's pretty cool too. I got involved in a retreat that Matthew Kelly put on at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Avon Lake. And he's also the author of the book Rediscover Catholicism, The Rhythm of Life, and many other wonderful books. And his advice to us was to take 10 minutes a day in the classroom of silence, whether it be at your church or in a room in your house. And so I decided to take prayer walks after that, after reading his book in 3 days. And I said the rosary on a lot of those prayer walks, and one day I felt like I should go in the other direction from my house. So it was like 8 o'clock on a Monday night. I figure, okay, let's see what's going on that way. I'm walking on the street. I think, why are the church lights on at 8:30 on a Monday night? That makes no sense. What the heck? So I'm like, okay, and in my mind, all I can hear is, come live in the light. And I'm like, okay, I'll bite. Let's see what's happening at church. So I walk into church, and there's a prayer group happening. So I join that. From there, I joined a Bible study. And from there, I joined the Matthew Kelly book discussion that was discussing his book, Rediscover Catholicism, where I met a lot of really wonderful people at parish who all had different childhoods in the church, and realized just how fortunate I was to have parents who explained to me every step of the way from birth, and I'm 22 now, so for the last 22 years of my life, explained to me the principles of the church and why we do what we do at Mass, why we do what we do in sacraments. So that's just been a very wonderful thing for me. And so I was talking a lot about my family, my life to people in my prayer groups, and they suggested I should become a nun. I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe down the line. And the one lady's like, well, why not now? I'm like, okay, fine, I'll bite. So after speaking to my priest, Father Timothy O'Connor, he asked me questions, like, what are you looking for in religious order? Should be close to home or away from home, traditional habits or non-traditional. So I'm like, okay, I'll go traditional, close to home, which happened to be the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they are a wonderful group of people. There's 100, probably 120 of them by now, 130 of them maybe. And they live in community, in the convent. And they have missions in various places. And they were all around my age, between 17 and I think 60. And most of them in their 20s and 30s. So that was very refreshing to see nuns who were relatable in age and in spirit and in personality. And it was, I went on the 24-hour retreat in June of 2000, 2001, 2001, yeah. And I loved it. It was very peaceful. They were amazing. And I thought to myself, I could come here. And I was looking at a statue in the chapel, and I thought to myself, I can see myself being here very shortly after the retreat. And so I spoke with the vocational director and asked for an application, which for them means you're dead serious about going there. And then in going over it, and after looking at the different requirements for it, I had a hard time finding someone who would help me with one of the parts of it, which is a psychiatric evaluation, make sure you're not crazy when you're going there. And for some reason, I couldn't find a place that would be open in time for me to do it before I went on my 5-day retreat to the convent to see what it was like to live there. So I figured, okay, that means something. And fortunately for me, they had 3 feast days while I was there. And on the feast days, you get to talk during meals, and they have extra games and candy and stuff. So the first few days, I'm like, yes, this place is awesome. I want to come here. These are the most, this is the best place on earth. Oh my gosh, it's awesome here. like we did the divine praises and everything, and it was just such a beautiful experience. On one of the days, the first regular day, where it was silent during meals, and someone read a book to us, and where it was silent in the hallways, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. Because I was just, I'm a talker. And for
Same
me,
here. Yep.
having to be quiet for more than an hour a day is a huge struggle. That's like
Yeah.
suffocation. So, and they were saying, oh, it's about sacrifice. You're dying to yourself, you're dying to your friends, but it's all for God. So it should be enjoyable. I'm like, if I feel like I'm suffocating, is that okay? Well, later on, the one nun's like, if you feel like you're suffocating, that's not good. I'm like, okay, what the heck's going on? So, I spoke with the vocational director about that when she called me into her office. And after saying, hey, you guys are awesome, but the whole contemplative thing, yeah, not my cup of tea. She was like, okay, well, how's your year been so far? After I explained, we had had a lot going on. I had school, I had observations for school where I go in and visit other schools to see how they taught their children there. And I had to work at a daycare right after that. So my days were long. I was still trying to do all my church groups every single day. My best friend moved in with us. And so it was a very long year. And we had had a house fire. So we were out of our house for 6 months. But that was a blessing because it was right before Christmas. And the house had so many things that needed to be repaired. And they got repaired courtesy of our insurance agency.
Okay.
So that was pretty sweet. That was a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot going on from that. So she's like, okay, well, take the year, balance things out, and relax. You seem kind of uptight. Her exact quote, by the way. So I thought, oh, thank God. Okay, I don't have to come here in the fall, because I had been freaking out the night before. I was almost in tears, like, okay, God, if you want me here, give me a blazing sign. Like, I know you've called me someplace. I feel like you've called me here, but if you really have, let me know. So that was him telling me, hey, don't worry about it. And actually, I was reading a book while I was praying about my discernment called God Calling, which my dad's friend Sally gave me. And the day that the retreat started, the meditation was Do Not Rush. And I cheated and looked ahead. And the meditation for the day that they accept new postulants every year, it said Life of Service. And the gist of it was, you will live a life of service consecrated to me, a life of power and joy. I thought, okay, I'm definitely becoming a nun, no doubt about it. Well, as it turns out, after I left that convent, the day that the new postulants were entering, I was sitting in church thinking, okay, what's in store? Well, that day I had a meeting for PSR where I was also asked to help with youth group. And later that day I had a meeting for a core retreat. So I thought, okay, this is a service. Okay, I am. And I said yes to youth group because I've been wanting to help out with that for forever. So I now am an aide in a fifth grade Sunday school classroom at St. Joseph Church in Avon Lake, and I love it. And I get to do a Satan lesson once a week for 10 minutes, and I also get to help substitute for the lead teacher. And it's so wonderful to just see these kids engaged in the class and to see them wanting to learn more and to remember what I said the week before, too. So that's pretty cool. And the youth group, it's fun to see kids enjoy being Catholic. And yeah. I just really love that a lot.
With the youth group, is it something that you see a lot of kids still, like, kind of like, because for me, it was always baring teeth kind of going to church or doing any kind of church. Is it that, or are you with the kids that really want to be there? I know it's kind of off subject, but is it something that you notice that most of the kids are happy to be there, or is it more of a, okay, the parents are kind of forcing? Because that's kind of like saying yes. I mean, there a lot of the kids nowadays aren't, you know, saying yes to Christ. They're saying yes to their remote over anything, or they're even for me, I'm a guilty party of I say yes to Facebook every night.
But, me too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of what I mean, what you're saying throughout, you know, being silent, being, you know, everything. I know you mentioned it before, and just being silent is tough for. Definitely for me, and like you're saying, it's difficult at times for you. Is it something that you have to work on every day, or is it kind of getting easier as you kind of are focused on, you know, saying, okay, I am taking my laptop, my computer, my, you know, all that stuff that, and I'm just going to get into a little, you know, corner in, you know, in my house and say, okay, I am going to turn off all the lights kind of thing. Maybe light a candle and just sit there and just focus on Christ. Is it kind of easy? I mean, is it easy for the kids and then for you? So it's a two part kind of,
it's gotten easy for me. Because I did learn that in a contemplative mindset that you pick up on what other people want to say more. And a lot of trying to help other people say yes is listening to them and seeing what they're saying. And the first – one of our first activities we had for a youth group, we had students come in for, like, a game, that kind of thing, and we prayed with them and stuff. And towards the end, we all went in the church, and each student got a candle, and we set intentions. And We were surrounding the holy water, the baptismal font, and it was very silent for a little while. But they were in a very prayerful mood, and in the silence, they were able to think of people in their lives who meant a lot to them, who needed prayers, like the sick, the dying. One boy actually astounded me because his father or uncle, I think, was going through cancer. And this person is a freshman in high school, and I was just amazed that he would come out and talk about that, because a lot of boys don't like to talk about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them opened up, and it's a smaller crowd. It's usually about 10 kids who come to each meeting, but they have a book club that I know the woman in charge of that, and they have about, you know, a handful of students come. A lot of it is by their own choice, because our youth group ministry, our adult ministry team, is made up of college students, grandparents, and then the parents of high schoolers. And these two girls who helped to start off these different activities were still in high school at the time. Oh, so wow. It was a lot of their input that helped make it a good following, and that helped get it running. And they do a community service project one Saturday a month where they go to a soup kitchen. They're also working on raking leaves and also making cards for nursing homes. So these kids are coming by choice. And a lot of the parents, of course, know each other and discuss the faith at their own homes and whatnot. So it's a lot of people who already have a pretty good understanding. But it's kind of cool because I also did a Right to Life group at my school a couple years back and was president of it for 2 years. And my passion, honestly, is the Catholic faith, and part of the Catholic faith is the pro-life movement, mm-hmm. because you can't be both Catholic and pro-choice. It's not possible. So,
well, ask the politicians that. That might be.
Right.
Don't get me into that part. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
But it was interesting because in one of the activities, it was what charities would you give money to if you had $1 million, or like, where would you go, like whose shoes would you be in? And I try to casually bring up how Planned Parenthood is going to bring about the demise of the human race, because it's responsible for 25% of abortions that occur in the whole universe, and a lot of kids didn't know that. So it was in the listening to them that I was able to hear some things that they thought and bring my own perspective. And they were like, oh my gosh, really? Wow. Fortunately, a lot of them were like, oh, hey, give it to Catholic Charities. They're all good. But
sure.
I felt the need to bring in, because a lot of people don't realize that when children are growing up at home, that what they don't hear also teaches them a lot too, because a lot of children don't hear at home in high school or in grade school, whenever, if they don't hear about the things that different people do, like Planned Parenthood uses a lot of different language, and a lot of parents don't want to discuss that with their kids. So in not telling their kids, they're silent about those issues,
yeah.
and silent about issues concerning the church.
Sure.
And it's in that silence, it's a different kind of silence, but it's in that silence that things get messed up. And it's in the children listening to other people around them that they learn things too. So I thought that was very interesting because, it's taught me to listen to other people, and therefore I can help them understand things too, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just with the saying of the change of the words, or just trying to confuse people, just the Planned Parenthood itself saying, okay, you're planning, you know, the parenthood, most likely it's not planning for parenthood. It's more like planning, okay, I can get away with, you know, basically not being a parent is what it's saying. It's the opposite of being a parent. And like you're saying, a lot of people don't understand that. And there's just so much, you know, untruths in the world. And that's totally true. That makes so much sense. And I'm going to jump to the second question. I know I have like the whole sheet of stuff I can ask you. We're just gonna try to, so I don't waste your whole evening. but I appreciate your time again.
My pleasure.
Just thinking about Mary as a young woman and to see that huge commitment that she said, that huge demand that saying to the angel Gabriel, just yes, without like, nowadays most people would, have to discuss with their friends, is this the right way to do it? She didn't have that, or she didn't do that at all of saying, okay, yes, to, I am going to raise the Son of God, and I'm not going to, complain about it. I'm not gonna say, okay, nah, let someone else do it, and I'll just watch and see how it goes. Kind of be a follower. I'm gonna be the leader and do something. So, what do you think nowadays? Is it so hard to say yes to God? And with those kids that you're, at the youth group, I mean, there's some high school kids that are open, but then there's also, like you're saying, talking to them and listening to them. It's a lot easier to talk to them than to actually listen sometimes to, these young kids that just need the ear to listen to, so.
Right. I think for me, it's easier, or it used to be easier actually, to say yes because just how I was raised. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by people who taught me, if a politician, for example, doesn't say yes, then the rest of the people who know them as, like, their personal life as a Catholic or so to speak, they'll be like, hey, why are you saying yes to a thing that's not good to say yes to? Whereas with Mary's case, she said yes, and she said yes to the church, and she didn't have anyone else to talk to about it. I think a lot of people don't have a good relationship with people around them, or if they do, then it's not the right kind of people. And they haven't been taught to talk to God. They've been taught you talk to God, but they aren't taught the different ways that God speaks to us.
Sure.
And God speaks to us, those around us, through different, like through doves flying in the sky, different types of things, and through our conscience. And it is important to listen to our conscience. And you might think your friend is your conscience. You might be wrong.
Right, yeah. So a lot of times I was wrong in high school and college, yeah. Friends were not friends.
And I mean, I've had that in college where I think, oh, if I, go out to lunch at Wendy's instead of studying for my sociology class, that's not a big deal. I was wrong. That
You're
friend was
right.
wrong.
Yep. I've been there.
But it's hard to say yes, if you don't know who to trust. And Mary was so awesome because, I mean, to say yes and to know that the consequences were that people would not understand and that she could be stoned to death potentially, it's a huge thing. She was, what, 14 years old? And I mean, it's so incredible to just think how she just knew to, like, she chose to say yes, and she didn't know what Joseph was gonna do. She didn't know what people around her were gonna
Right,
do.
yeah.
And I mean, like, I find for myself, it's not always easy to say yes. And I might be at school and I might be th thinking, okay, like, do I do one thing now and do one thing later? And where I would normally ask my dad, hey, what do you think? Or my mom, what do you think? Because they're pretty good at judging what I should do or not do. My dad always tells me, whenever I'm ever stuck on something, he says, pray about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like,
What's that gonna
like, give me a real answer. But it always works because God never lies to us.
Yeah.
He only tells the truth. And in just meditating on it and just like letting God, just letting go and letting God, that's what's most important. And a lot of people don't know how to let go and let God. They might have done it and not known it. And I know for me, it's really hard a lot of the time because I have friends who who are polar opposite of me on the religious spectrum and moral spectrum. And, like, I have a friend who was trying to sell me candy bars, and the money would go to his pride club at school, and the pride club is the Gay Straight Alliance, and that promotes, you know, activities where it's okay to do, it was promoting a lifestyle of a homosexual lifestyle, and though he's a very dear friend of mine, and it really hurts me sometimes that I'm hurting him, but yeah. I know that if I say yes to him, I'm saying no to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, God is the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And if I say no to church, I'm saying no to God.
Right.
And I can't say no to God in that because I'd be a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And people at school also try to, you know, say, like, we have this thing at school called Women's Link where they provide a lot of counseling services. However, they also provide and refer for family planning services, which refers for abortions.
Mm-hmm.
So part, and I'm on Student Senate now, and part of our training was to know about Women's Link and whatnot. And and we're supposed to be neutral, quote unquote neutral. Most people who know me know that I am not good at being neutral on things. I'm a very outspoken person, because of how I was raised. I'm not afraid to speak up for the faith and for the pro-life movement. It's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard sometimes when I'm supposed to be neutral and when I want to be accepted by those around me, by my peers. But then I look back and I think, and I do think for a minute, I'm like, well, I could, like, no, I can't be just neutral. So if people ask me where they go for counseling services, I don't say Women's Link. I say in counseling services by career services, they have clinical counseling where it's, you know, in case of, you know, emergencies and stuff. So, they don't know that I'm not referring them to Women's Link.
Mm-hmm.
They just bring them to a counseling service.
Okay.
So it's still hard because I'm trying to be accepted by my peers, but it's, again, I've been blessed to have been raised that we answer to God and that right. He's judging us. So it's, and my friends know me that if it's not for God and if it's not for the pro-life movement and if it goes against it, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And it's hard sometimes because, you know, we all have friends who have different beliefs than we do and we all want to make people around us happy. We don't like to be disliked, but Mary, people, when she came back from visiting Elizabeth, they're like, oh, she's got a little baby bump going on. Like, what's with that? Yeah. And Joseph almost divorced her and had that dream where the angel said, hey, here's what's going to happen. And he stood up for her and he could have, you know, thrown her to the wolves, but chose not to. And he said yes to God in that sense.
That's it. Yeah.
And he's... Mary put so much stuff. And if Mary can do that at such a young age, so can we.
Right.
And,
No. That's
God gives us. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you forget about Joseph saying it. I mean, also saying yes. It's that's, you know, you would think back then. I mean, what divorce or you know, you could do a lot of things of that. Said, why would I want to be with this woman still, where I don't understand what's going on? It's a leap of faith. It's that faith that. You don't understand it. It's over your head, but you're just saying yes to the truth. And that's, you know, you don't, we forget about Joseph sometimes in the sense of what he said yes to. And I don't mean to not, you know, give Mary the credit, but he also deserves a ton of credit. he does.
He really does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. But I'm going to go to the third. How do you feel that discussion? You know, we make today the decisions that we make today can relate to Mary, what Mary did for Jesus, of that saying yes. You know, what kind of decisions can we do today in, you know, our faith or, It's sometimes difficult to okay, I have to, have to go to church. Sometimes it's, I mean, it's really cool to see like your family with your dad, in the seminary. And I mean, my family wasn't, in that kind, and that's really amazing to see, a family like yours where you have that background. I mean, you were raised in that background. What, nowadays, is it hard to express? Do you think it would be, everybody's, has their own ways of, their lifestyles, and is it hard to make decisions and to, say, okay, all right, Mary, I don't know if I could do what she did,
I think it is hard a lot of times, but we make decisions every day that can be related to Mary in some way. I mean, she raised the infant child of the church. I mean, she cradled him in her arms, she fed him, she nurtured him, she picked him up when he fell down. I mean, it's in living out the Gospels, it's in living out the church. I mean, Jesus, when we go to communion every Sunday, which we are privileged to do as Catholics. We receive Jesus into us, and he lives through us. And we, as Catholics, need to bring that out in other people and allow them to bring that out in ourselves. And I mean, I was just watching a couple weeks ago, Therese, Little Flower, and she gave herself to God in the little things. So in just smiling at someone, the president of Student Senate says it's her mission every day to make someone's day better by saying, "Hi, beautiful, hi, handsome," giving someone a smile, or just, giving someone that quarter that they need to buy their lunch with, and doing the dishes or something, doing
Yeah.
the
Right. Yep.
I'm
No.
so good at those ones.
No.
Picking up the
I.
groceries, stuff like
Right.
that. In every little thing, Mary, in saying yes to carrying the infant church, say yes to mothering him. And it's our duty as Catholics to be the, to help our families, to help our brothers or sisters, our parents, and allow them to help us be the best Catholics we can be, and to allow the church to live through us, and to pray every day through the actions we do, and make everything you do a prayer. I learned that at prayer, at my book discussion.
That's really good.
And I mean, if you pick up like a sock off the floor, which I know we all have socks on our floor sometimes. If you pick up like one sock, that's one less sock for someone else to pick up. If you put one dish in the dishwasher, that's one less dish someone else has to put in the dishwasher. That's one less stress someone has. It's in doing your homework, it helps you to have more knowledge to share with someone else, tell the truth to someone else in that way. It's everything we do. I mean, Mary was just a typical Jerusalem girl. Like, we are, like, God made us all equal. And he picked, like, the apostles. Like, Jesus gave John to Mary. And, I mean, they lived normal lives like we did. And they lived holy lives. So it's our duty to carry on their lessons to us and live those lessons and teach those lessons to others throughout our lives. So it's in everything we do.
Oh no, that's great. I mean, that's I think of, I just we had our second baby 9 days ago, and you think of all the little things we have to, my wife has to do, and I'm just doing it for a week as I'm off from work, and the little things take time, but it's what, saying yes and not, complaining or saying, I don't want to do it right now, and just God, I don't need you right now. I'll worry about you later. And that's, it's difficult sometimes to, and that, I guess that's like that carrying the cross every day, and sometimes we all drop it, and you can see, with the Passion of the Christ, just that moment, those moments that just the agony that he went through, you know, just his walking up with the cross, and just to see him, just, you know, our crosses are very, you know, they're very light compared to what he had to carry, and we need to, you know, serve in the little things. And I think that's, yeah, the little flower was, you know, the little things do help. And you don't think about all the times you open a door up, and, you know, those, like you're saying, like picking up a sock or clothes off the floor. I'm guilty of that. I don't pick it up sometimes.
So am I.
Just ask my wife. So I know how that is. But it's very good points. I appreciate those. We're going to go to the last, and I will let you get on to your evening. And what would you like to say to people that are either not interested in listening to God or just kind of struggling with saying yes? What kind of things would you say? Okay, you don't have to listen to me, but, you know, if you just want to just, you know, kind of just jump into the pool for a little bit and just get wet, what would you say to those kind of people that are just on that teetering point of their faith?
That's a great question. I would listen to them and find out why they aren't interested in listening to God or just trying to say yes to him. And a lot of time it's because in today's society, it's popular to say no. And, you know, there's a lot of different issues. Being on college campus, you know, you hear, well, various things in regards to people's love lives, I'll put it that way. They want things that make them happy. And they don't want to listen to people telling them that what they're doing might be wrong. So I try to ask them questions as to why they think it's right, and try to listen to their logic about it, because it's in listening to their logic that you can disprove their logic, I like to think. I haven't had a whole lot of success with it yet. But it's in trying to understand where they're coming from. And I like to share my own experiences. Like, hey, this happened. I like to go to adoration a lot too. St. Anthony of Padua has 24-hour adoration. However, the roof fell off due to the hurricane. So So pray for them. In cahoots right now. Our Lady of Angels in West Park, Cleveland has 24-hour adoration as well. And I mean, a lot of times I myself am like, I kind of don't want to go at like 11 o'clock at night to a half hour drive to adoration.
Yeah.
But when I do that though, it makes it better, because I find that in giving an hour, hour and a half, I get more time in my day somehow. So I try to explain that to other people as well. And I have one friend who is polar opposite me in morals, and he does a lot of things that are less than immaculate, to put it nicely. But he did participate in Lent this past year and took a vow of celibacy for Lent. I was proud of him for that. But it's a struggle to try to talk to them, because a lot of time they don't want to listen because they're happy with the way their lives are.
Yeah.
And they don't want to change stuff that makes them happy. So I just try to offer my own viewpoint on it and offer how my life gets affected by doing what God wants me to do and how happy I am in doing that. And though it's a struggle, it's a struggle that once people delve into it, they begin to enjoy. And I just ask them to go to church with me sometimes. They don't always do it, but when they bring it up, I'm like, oh yeah, this is really cool. Or I try to say like a different event that happened that was like really awesome. Like, I went to church and this happened, or I went to this retreat and this stuff happened. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, just listen listening to people and trying to understand their logic, and I just a lot of times explain how I was raised, and they're like, wow. So I try to explain why I like going to church, that I like the music, that it brings me peace, and that it's a family bond I have, not only my home family, but like in the church as a family, and that the church helps people out so much, and that, I mean, God only does good things, but sometimes they're in disguise, and I mean, we all do things we regret, but it's learning from those mistakes that we do better things, so I try to just tell people that, and that, I mean, Mary's yes saved the world from sin and death.
Yeah.
What could their yes do and stuff, you know?
That is a great way to end this. That Mary did do that, and that is why I hopefully we can definitely have you back on for maybe a theme podcast if you want to do a pro-life, or I am already inviting you back whenever you want, whenever you have the free time that you just want to talk about your faith and saying yes, just give out, you know, the fiat, and you know you definitely show why you said yes to Christ, and you continue to say yes. And Sarah, I really appreciate tonight and what you gave out as, you know, your expression of your fiat to Christ. And I just want to say again, thank you. I bow down to you. Thank you. And I just want to let people know we will hopefully get this. This is a practice of the sense of it's a podcast that we're trying to get up and running. Sarah was really great to have the patience with me tonight. And I just want to let people know we will have the whole podcast on the fiatministry.org. And just another reminder about Lamb of God Radio, 91.7. They do need your support of any kind of donations. There is a link onto the fiatministry.org website, directly to their website. And again, Sarah, thank you. And hopefully we could do another podcast together. If you someday want to do a show, I would love to have you as a
host. My pleasure. So, I'd love to.
Thank you again, and good night.
Good night to you too.